Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 49 of Scienpology, the podcast you know and love. Brought to you by Paul Odo, me. It is Wednesday, January 8th. The year is 2020. How crazy is that? Let me take these headphones off. I do that every time now, I know. I don't like to hear myself. That I want to make sure that the audio is good, but then I don't like to hear myself beyond that. It's just, I find it a little distracting. So, January 8th, 2020. What the fuck? How did this happen, right? Time. She just keeps on rolling. It's a very strange situation. Time is a bizarre thing. And speaking of time, I've had a birthday since I spoke to you guys last. I am now a 40-year-old man. What a strange thing that is to say out loud. But it is what it is, and I gotta tell you, here's the weird thing about turning 40, because I worked the night before on my 39th, the last day of my 30s. I worked a bar job where I work at, and I got out pretty early, which was nice. And then I walked around for a minute, and I went, and I was on my way home, and I bought a steak, and I went home to my apartment, and I had a tucked-in button-down shirt on, I had my boots on, and I cooked a very rare steak in a cast-iron skillet, and although I'm not really drinking this month, we'll clarify this a little bit later, I did give myself one glass of whiskey, because it just seemed appropriate, and when the clock struck midnight, I stopped being 39, and I became 40. And I was sitting down to eat a very rare steak that I cooked myself with my boots on, having a glass of whiskey and a tucked-in button-down shirt like a goddamn grown-up. And I gotta tell you, this is the fun thing about moments like that. Immediately when it happened, I didn't give a shit anymore. I gave a shit all the way up until the moment that it happened. And then right when it happened, I was like, hey, whatever, you know, no fucking fireworks. Nothing started hurting suspiciously, suddenly. It was just what it is, and it's just a passage of time, and I had, and, you know, look, if we take away all the numerical titles or whatever, however you want to conceptualize time, which is a very strange thing to try to conceptualize if you really start getting into it as an idea, I had been essentially 40 for a year, and will be for about a year. It's all just a blob of time. These are the ways that we keep track of things, but the numbers don't really, they're just ways that make us feel more comfortable with trying to feel like we know what's going on, and we don't know what's going on, so the best thing we can do is try to keep track of shit as we move forward. So, time is this very strange deal. It's super, super weird when you start getting way into it. I remember the first time I really started thinking about time in a way that I would say got me in, like, mental trouble was after that movie Interstellar came out, that movie with Matthew McConaughey, which I thought was a pretty good movie. It seemed to have a lot of its science correct, and I thought that that was fun, that they tried to make, like, a sci-fi movie that was also grounded in some kind of realistic science. And when they started talking about the way that time changes around the gravitation of black holes and things like that, that's when it started getting really confusing to me. And I really, and obviously, like, if you have any understanding what would you call it, astrophysics or physics in general, I guess, or any of this stuff, this is not such a mind-blowing concept as it is for a person who's never really thought about it. Now, that said, I'm sure that if you study these things, you get your mind blown in a deeper, more bizarre way. But I started just going and looking on Reddit and on the internet and different places about, like, how the fuck does the distortion of time work with gravity and all that shit? Because, like, look, if you don't know anything about it, I'll just assume that you don't know anything about time in relation to space and gravity and shit like that, because why would you? You're listening to me talk. Excuse me. So, say you leave the Earth, and this is, again, I am fucking not qualified to explain anything that Einstein ever said, but as far as I can understand, time is linked to speed and gravity, and as if you travel away from the Earth, like, say you leave the Earth going the speed of light, and you go out a year, and it takes you a year to travel that fast away from the Earth. By the time that you come back, all kinds of time has passed on the Earth, but only a year has passed for you. So it starts to get very strange in this, like, what the fuck is time, right? And by that same token, I got into this weird spiral with it where I was like, wait a minute. So let's say I did something really totally insane and I like cut my pinky finger off, right? And I left my pinky finger in some way that it wouldn't die. I don't know. This is, roll with me here. But it's like, it's just aging at normal speed. And then I get in this spaceship and I travel out and I come back. My pinky finger will have aged, but I won't, right? So that means that even the particles of our body aren't necessarily connected to the same time that we're a part of. So it just starts spiraling out of control real quick, right? Like, you just don't know what to even think anymore. And I think one of my favorite things that I ever heard anybody say about this whole subject, I don't think it was Neil deGrasse Tyson who said this, but he definitely repeated it, said that the universe is under no obligation to make sense to you. And I thought that that was a great way of sort of just being like, yeah, yeah, no, it's totally crazy. And we are these creatures who have developed on this planet and have gotten as far as we have, adapting to the environment that we're in. So it only makes sense that we would understand the things that we are evolved to have understood better. And even then, we're still trying to get a grasp on the stuff that's around us. But anything that's like enormously big or super insanely small, it shouldn't be surprising that that shit doesn't like make sense to us, because it's beyond our realm of what we're kind of evolved to understand. We barely understand the things that we deal with. So when you start getting into these high concept things, I remember somebody telling me, they're like, you really just have to look at the math. That's where math becomes a very important thing. Is when you're dealing with these subjects that are like theoretical, or it's out of the depth of being able to just like stare at it and be like, I don't fucking understand why he had 8 apples and now he's only got 2. You know, like, you can't look at it like a word problem in high school math. You have to look at it as like, yeah, the gravity of an imploded star is pulling an entire fucking solar system in this weird way that like makes everything spin around itself and keeps us on the ball of this thing. So it's like those types of things, they don't even, I mean, when you first explained them to, like, who was it, Copernicus or Galileo or any of these first thinkers about this type of thing, even them just trying to float the idea to people, they're like, you're a witch, we're going to kill you, or whatever, you know, it was that much of like, you ever talk to somebody who's so stupid that you can just see them getting mad about trying to figure out life, and you can sort of see violence swelling up inside of them occasionally, they're just like, trying to wrap their head around the concept of like, someone that they admire being something that they're, you know, like, finding out somebody's gay would be a good example. That's something that I dealt with when I was much younger, living in Texas. I would be talking to these idiots who I grew up with, And I don't mean that everybody in Texas is stupid. Believe me, one thing I've learned from coming to New York City and traveling around the world, there are rednecks and morons of all color and creed all over this great big blue planet of ours. And I'm not even taking myself out of that equation. But there were big hives of them where I come from. And I remember growing up with these maniacs and explaining to them that, like, you know, some actor that they thought was good is like, yeah, you know, there's rumors that Tom Cruise is gay. And you would see the guy sort of like rolling it around in his head being like, fuck that. It's like, why, what does that matter? Is he dating your sister or something like that? It's like, no, it's just, you could tell that it's the processing and like almost their, the dude's eyes are almost going crossed a little bit where it's like, but I have this whole imagined reality in my mind and this is fucking with my reality. And you can see that those wheels turning and sort of like falling off the gears inside of this very loosely fit together thing that is really impressive that it's rolling around in the first place. So anything that bumps that apple cart, it becomes jarring, you know? It does. Seeing stupid people kind of come unhinged, it feels like it's kind of a spectacle and a thing that you can observe from a distance and not feel like you're a part of, but you very much are a part of it because no matter how much you look down on other people, and I'm a very judgmental, critical person, but I never get so far with it that I don't understand that we are part of the same fabric of humanity. You know, it's like, whatever, like you can't just blow people off because you don't think that they're smart enough to have a say in whatever, or they, you know, how do you frame this idea? So there's a lot of people that'll sit there and tell you that they're like, you know, you should have to have a certain IQ to be able to cast a vote, or you shouldn't be able to have kids if you're X, Y, or Z, or this or that or the other. And I always will just nod along and be like, yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of theories out there about stuff, and I just kind of let it go because while I may agree with some of that here and there, somebody might float something and be like, you know, if you watch YouTube videos at full volume in public, you should probably be sprayed with pepper spray or tased or something. And right away I'd be like, yeah, I think that makes sense because less people should be doing that. But that's not because that's a good idea. What that's more of a reflection of is why I'm not in charge and why we're not in charge and why there's a process that we all go through of voting and coming up with ideas and checking and rechecking and trying to make sure that this is not totally insane. What we're doing is this, because we really are just like, we're not good one-on-one. Individual people, you have conversations with people and you can have some fantastic conversations with people. And people are incredibly intelligent and insightful and empathetic and thoughtful, and I feel like most people in the world try to be good people. I don't think that most people are bad. I really don't. I never have. I have sort of a pessimistic view of humanity in general, but that's more something that I attribute to, like, bad luck and also laziness and sort of the opportunistic nature of people and wanting to take the easy road, and even entropy, which is just a fancy word for the general collapse of things over time, just the way things sort of fall apart, not only physical things, but systems and all this shit. That's, you know, like the highway is constantly having to be worked on just because of the gradual erosion of things, and that's entropy is a problem that extends throughout all things that we try to maintain and keep working when really they just want to fall into the earth and have grass grow on them and bugs carry away the parts of them and shit like that. So, but I do tend to think that most people in the world are trying to do good. And are, for the most part, good. Again, the pessimistic nature of people is more in part due to just, like, people just, like, accidentally doing bad things, you know? Like, I take issue with this attitude that humanity is what's wrong with the world, and if it weren't for people, that everything would be perfect. Because that's... There's a few reasons why I disagree with that. One, you're only able to have that perspective on the backs of the people who did all this hard work to get you to this luxurious position of not thinking that the world is good enough. And that is incredibly spoiled and just disrespectful, basically. Of all the generations and generations and generations of humans who have struggled to get us to this very luxurious position that we're in. And then also, you're not saying, when you say that, you're not saying that that we would be better if it weren't for people. You're just saying that people are bad. And I don't agree with that. I think that's a cop-out, and I think that that's a way to just throw your hands up and say, I don't have to do anything to help make things better. It should just be better. So, I have found myself in a strange position of, like, sticking up for humanity in the past few years. Because people just talk such crazy shit about how bad people are. And I'm not saying that we're incapable of doing horrible things. We certainly do. But I definitely feel like most of what is wrong with the world right now, as it relates to the behavior of human beings, is not malicious. I think that a lot of it, if not the vast majority of the problems that we have, are due to just not really paying attention to what we could be doing more of, not taking full responsibility for our actions, but not out of being mean, more out of just being kind of lazy and taking the easy route and not paying attention to how things are going to get worse if we don't deal with them right now. Like the humongous garbage island in the middle of the ocean that's like bigger than Texas. You look at that and it's not like we're all just standing on the beach throwing 2-liter Coke bottles into the ocean. We're not fucking spraying hairspray in the air and pissing on fucking seagulls covered in oil. What we're doing is just living our lives, buying stuff, putting it in the garbage, and then that stuff goes someplace where somebody else is like, well, the garbage is full over here, we better put it over there, and because nobody got the fucking permits or whatever, then that spills over into something else, and it's like, I don't believe that it's a vast conspiracy to be evil. I think that it's just a lot of lazy dominoes falling over, and then all of a sudden we just kind of look at it and we're like, ah, fuck, we got to clean this place up. This place is fucked up. And I think that that's more to the point of what's wrong with the world than anything else. And I think that we're making a genuine effort to try to be better about that. And I think that that's a really wonderful thing. And I'll tell you what's really not going to help is giving up and just acting like it's all fucked. And there's way too much of that going on just in general, which is very frustrating to deal with. And it ends up making me sound like a weird alt-right person, which I'm fucking not. I am liberal by all metrics, really. When it really comes down to it, but now, and I've talked about this ad nauseum in the podcast before too, it's like, if you don't completely check all of the boxes of like every single progressive quote-unquote idea that comes across the fucking Twitter feed, then you end up being some weird traitor or a spy in our midst. And I find that very fucked up. I don't think that that's a good... Because I would describe myself now, I think, as alt-left. I'm all for doing the right thing by people and trying to make the world a better place and making sure everybody feels inclusive and not shit on excessively. But I'm not gonna just say yes to every fucking thing that, you know, whoever's running for the next liberal seat in a thing is gonna say. I wanna know. It's like, I don't wanna know what your sexual orientation or what your pronoun is or anything like that, as much as I want to know, are you a decent person? Are you a good shit? Is this a good person who is born a man and now chooses to be identified as a woman? I want to know, what do you stand for? What, like, how do you feel about taking care of that garbage pile in the ocean? How are we going to prevent future things like that? How are we going to try to get people health care? And how are we going to try to get this goddamn clown out of the Oval Office? Fuck, man. A lot of stuff to be talking about on this 49th episode of Scientology, which is actually the last episode in the first season of Scientology, if I haven't talked about that before. Next episode is going to be 50. That's episode 1 of season 2 of Scientology. And I'm going to do some things to change it. I'm not going to tell you what they are. I'm going to make them a bit of a surprise, but I'm going to do some things to change it up. But just to go back to this whole idea, just to finish that thought before I get away from it. So this concept of progressive thought and positive change and all these other different things, like, I don't see it the same way that I feel like a lot of people do. And I don't think that that's a bad thing at all. The way that I view a lot of this stuff is, okay, so I had somebody ask me last time, after the last episode of the show, because I had made some point about how I don't like the concept. I don't like when companies try to appear progressive. I don't like corporations waving gay pride flags and trying to stand up for fucking, Black History Month or any of that other stuff, because I don't trust that. I don't trust HBC Bank having a fucking, you know, support whatever cause thing in their window, because now it just makes me wonder, how are you making extra money by doing this? And who are you pandering to try to get me to come in there and take a loan out that I'm not going to be able to fucking pay, and then you end up owning my car or something? You know, it's like, you're all liars. You're all fucking crooks. And it's not even the people. I'm not blaming the people, because the people are just trying to do a job. But the entity of a corporation is not something to be trusted. And we have this very weird idea somehow that, like, you shouldn't hold these things accountable. That it's like this sleight of hand trick, right? So, like, a corporation can ruin people. Just like this, whatever company that released all the OxyContin stuff. And then they were trying, so they got all these people hooked on this OxyContin, and then they were trying to develop a drug that helped wean people off of OxyContin. So it was going to be a thing that they got people addicted to, and then they were going to sell you the thing that they got you off of the shit with. And by some weird miracle, they've caught these people and been like, hey, this is fucked up, you're going down, and they're bringing all these lawsuits against them. But then what happens is, now you got to stop acting like it's a corporation and start going in there and being like, oh, it's this family that owns the corporation, so we're going to go after them. But they have the corporate shield in front of them. So it's like you're in a, all of a sudden, you've cornered the bad guy, but you caught him in like a mirror maze, right? So you can't quite figure out where the hell he is or who he is. And that's what the concept of a corporation ends up being in this context. It's like this thing that distracts you from being able to hold the people that are accountable actually accountable. So it's a very confusing thing to understand how to fight. But that's part of the reason that I really don't like it when corporate do-goodery bothers me. I don't like that at all, because it stinks like bullshit to me immediately, and it fucking weirds me out that other people don't immediately recognize it as bullshit. So it just weirds me out. And same goes with government stuff, too, because the government is not a corporation, but it operates as like, what would you call it? The mothership of corporations. If corporations and these corporate entities are these weird alien things that are part of what is infecting humanity with this this strange, how would you describe it? Distortion of reality, then government is the thing that they feed, and it's like a symbiotic weird relationship. And so now government does other things too. I feel like the corporate structure actually poisons government much more than the other way around, but I still don't. Anyway, we're getting off into Alex Jones territory with some of this shit. But I say all that to try to like bring up this point about like progressive concepts that seem to have come about because people are getting better as a whole, like gay marriage or the legalization of marijuana or even a legalization of psilocybin in Colorado. A lot of these things that I'm going to play both sides of the fence here, because on one side, yes, they are signs of times changing for the better, and they are moving the ball down the field in a direction that we want it to be going. But I think that that is more of a collective sobering up of humanity rather than a deliberate effort to do the right thing by any kind of corporate or government entities. Because the way it works is we, as the voting populace, are the things that actually affect the change in those things by our support or lack of support thereof, right? Be it voting or what we spend our money on or this or that or the other. So we do have much more strength than we think we do, but that's constantly chipped away at confidence-wise by keeping us apart and feeling like we're these individual lonely things as opposed to this enormous force of a population, which is what we actually are. But that's why there's such an, in my opinion, that's why there's such an incredible emphasis placed on get yours and fuck the next guy and socialism or any kind of collective thought is bad. We should never, we don't want to band together too much. It's like you're a straight white guy and I'm a fucking gay trans woman or whatever, and it's all these little pockets of people rather than just people in general, because it's much more manageable from a controlling aspect to keep everybody sort of bickering amongst each other rather than just being like, no, it's all of us people trying to live in the world versus you people who are in these like giant robot suits that we call corporations just tearing shit apart and taking as much money as you want and fucking everybody. So, but that's, either way, again, drifting off into very strange conspiratorial fucking blatherland here. But the point that I was trying to make with this is that when you see gay marriage become legalized or weed becoming legal across the country, I look at it and I'm like, yeah, okay, that is great. I'm not saying it's not good. But I don't look at it from this standpoint of just like, well, corporations decided to do the right thing, or the government just decided to do the right thing. I think that the people and the powers that be behind the scenes looked at this and they're like, listen, if we let gay people get married, that means there's going to be twice the weddings. And if there's twice the weddings, there's going to be twice the divorces. And that's a lot of money that we could be making. And you feed that shit into the wedding industrial complex that is this crazy over-the-top amount of money that people spend on weddings every year. And that spreads money throughout the whole economy and the whole thing. And not to mention divorces and divorce lawyers and all that shit that's attached to that. So it's really more them waving the flag being like, yeah, we should have been doing this forever. Just stuffing money in their pockets rather than these fucking vampires saying that, we really fucked up. We've come to our senses and we genuinely feel bad for the amount of time that we were looking the other way when gay people were getting dragged behind trucks and having to pretend to just be roommates in subdivisions while being fucking school guidance counselors and playing in Young Life bands, acting like they're not a couple. Like, it's all this horse shit that is backed up by the entire structure of reality that we live in. And it is us trying to make sense out of a completely chaotic thing. This entire game that we play, all these things. If we all believe a thing together, it ends up becoming real and we make really cool shit out of it. You know? Just the very simple fact that you're listening to this on some device that has more than likely picked up the signal through fucking thin air that has gone to your phone or your computer or whatever, and now it's being radioed possibly through another wireless transmission to the fucking earbuds in your head. And all that ended up being was enough people coming up with a few people probably coming up with an idea and then them convincing other people of that reality. That reality being so convincing that they made a newer reality, and then that reality just ends up glomming into the rest of our reality. And now the idea of having a phone with all of the world's information linked together on it, streaming the ramblings of a 40-year-old man in his apartment in Astoria, Queens, thinking about the nature of life and time, that is all part of the real world that we live in now. But if you go back 20 years and you tried to explain this to somebody, they treat you like fucking Copernicus, and they're like, we're probably going to have to burn you at the stake because, you're just talking nonsense, and what is this? A computer phone? Who? You know what I mean? Like, that's 20 years ago. We just had, we had phones in bags that we put in a car. And that was the top of the line technology. But these things all move, you know? They move quick. And much, much faster as we go along. And there's a lot of things to deal with now. In this, our year, the year of our Lord, 2020. 2020. Fucking nuts. A lot of crazy shit's been going on, aside from me turning 40. That's small potatoes compared to the news. Our fucking goofy clown of a president, killed some, general in Iraq that was an Iranian general, which, let me just go on record as saying I have no real dog in the fight as far as that goes. There's possibly a good chance that that guy should have been killed. I don't fucking know enough about global military, you know, goings on to say whether or not that was a thing that shouldn't have happened. But I will say that it's pretty goddamn coincidental that it happened when Donald Trump is getting impeached. I'll say that, and you're going to have a hard time arguing that it's not pretty fucking coincidental that that happened when he's getting impeached. Just for the record, all right? So that's pretty fucking nuts. And then Iran, I guess, just shot a bunch of missiles at a base in Iraq that's got U.S. military personnel on it, and I did hear on the news that apparently there were no casualties. So maybe they were just trying to be like, hey, this is what you get. We're going to shoot some stuff at you, and hopefully that's all it is. But if this shit keeps escalating, this is all on Donald Trump's head. And it would only be a good thing to say that if he even gave a fuck. This is exactly why it was wrong to put a reality TV show host in the White House. Every fucking person who was like, well, you think Hillary Clinton would have been a better president? The answer is yes. Because she wouldn't have stirred up shit like this. If she was getting impeached, which maybe she would. I don't think that she's a straight shooter. I think that whole family's all corrupt, and all these weird political dynasties, they're all fucked up weirdos. So I'm not saying that she's involved in some child pedophilia pizza scandal, but I will say that I don't think that she's a nice person, and I don't think that she's an honest person. So there's a very good chance that maybe she would have been impeached in the same situation as Donald Trump. Just hypothetically, go with me for this just for a second. The point I'm trying to make is she wouldn't have started a goddamn war with Iran to get out of it. She would have done the same thing that her husband did, which is just try to find the way to fight it like a goddamn political weasel. And that's all that would have been. And you wouldn't have to worry about her leaning on the goddamn button and all these rockets flying off into the rest of the world. Now, I understand that I'm probably forgetting that Clinton blew some shit up when he was getting impeached. I'm sure I'm forgetting that. But there was definitely an air about every single other president that's ever been in the White House where you weren't like, this person might blow up the whole world rather than just face the music. Not like Donald Trump. Donald Trump's the first one. But everything is so strangely divided. Now, there's no way to talk any kind of sense about this shit. Everybody just like leaning on their own news source and trying to point at that and being like, they got it figured out, and they absolutely don't. I keep trying to talk about just other things, and everybody wants to drag you into political discussions or talk about how the world's burning down because Australia's all on fire, and that fucking looks like a goddamn nightmare, and I wish there was something I could do about it. I really do, aside from donate the very small amount of money that I have to some gigantic pool that I don't know if that even gets to them. You know, that's the problem with making donations to these massive problems. You don't even know if it's going to make any difference. I mean, you want to think that it does, but I don't know how to help. There's so many things like that. I remember a comic I knew years ago had this great bit. Isaac Whitty is his name, and he had this great bit about seeing a bumper sticker on the back of somebody's car, and it just said "Free Tibet," and his reaction to that was like, "I can't. Like, I don't know how. I don't know who's got them. I don't know what to do about letting them go. I don't know if they should be held captive. I don't know anything about it." But I thought it was a great, honest admission of just like, you see these things and people are like, you know, save this or that or the other. And it's like, who do you think I am? You think I'm just going to pick up a phone and be like, all right, put the fires out. Just turn the hoses on and put the fires out. Australia's had enough. Like, I can't do anything about it. I wish that I could. I really do. But there's that. And I don't know. What are we supposed to do? A fucking haka dance about the shit? That's the only thing that I can think about lately is how many haka dances I've seen. Have you seen these fucking things? It's a Polynesian war dance or something like that. It's fucking awkward as shit, is what it is. It's like all these, thank God I have never been around anyone who takes haka dancing seriously, because we're immediately going to get into an enormous argument that, and these guys are huge, they'll twist my fucking head off of my shoulders, but I can't think of anything more confusing to be doing right now than that. And it's happened for fallen police officers. I think it's happened for like Hawaii for stuff. It's happened now for Australia. I have seen no less than a half dozen haka dances on social media in the past, I don't know, year. And every single time, I don't know what to do with that. You know what I mean? Like, when I see some guys all lined up and they're going, ha, 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 and they're fucking like moving their arms and yelling at nobody, at the camera, at the problem as a concept, I don't know what to do with that. And I don't know how anybody else does either. And I'm not even really dogging on the guys who are doing the haka-ing. I'm really dogging on the people who are looking at it being like, it's really important that they do this. It's like, is it? What is this? What is happening right now? And I got to tell you, it legitimately made me laugh when I saw them doing it in Australia. Because I know that they were doing it... Again, I'm not saying that it's not significant to the people who are doing it. I'm sure that it is. I will never sit there and be like, what you're doing is stupid. But I think the situation is kind of... It's a goofy situation. Because... At least in the Australia one, you gotta know that there was some Aussie fire chief, and I love Australian people. They are very much like Texas people in the sense that they are just sort of the descendants of criminals. They're a bunch of drunks. They got a little bit of chaos in their eyes, and we get along because we revel in a little bit of turmoil. And we like the idea that that makes the people around us a little bit nervous. But there's a lot of no-nonsense motherfuckers over there. So I can definitely see some grizzled old fire chief guy being like, why are we stopping? Why are we stopping the fighting of the fire? To dance? We're going to do this haka dance now. All right, guys. Houses are burnt. All right, well, you got to practice your haka dance. All right. Scream. Great. How many rehearsals are there? Can we just move it? All right. Well, it's a culturally important thing for you. Okay, fair enough. Well, as soon as we're done with this, let's keep trying to put all of the country that's on fire out of fire, please. Could we move that along, guys? Can we finish up the dance? Great. Good hawking, everybody. Let's get on out there. Well done. I don't know what that was. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that information. So, the only thing that I could think you're supposed to do in response to a haka dance is like a fucking one of your own? Are you supposed to do an interpretive dance in response? It's like when somebody says cheers to me. I don't know, am I supposed to say thank you or cheers back? It's all fucking confusing. But, anyway, nobody's got anything figured out. Everybody thinks they do. And that's the biggest... That's the biggest issue we got to deal with right now. Admit that you don't know what you're fucking talking about. I am happy to do that at any point. I run my fucking mouth, but I will sit here and tell you if I don't know what I'm saying, or if you point at me and you're like, hey, you don't know what you're saying, I'm going to be like, then tell me. Help me understand. Because I don't want to walk around looking like an idiot my whole life. I really don't. But so many fucking people think they've got it all figured out, and we absolutely don't. And my favorite example of that is New York City. Getting a coffee in this town. My brother was the one who pointed this out to me when he came to visit. I didn't even notice it. We went to a deli. We got a bagel and a coffee. They took a cup of coffee. They put a lid on it and the bagel. And they put the coffee and the bagel in a paper bag and handed it to him. And he goes, you just put a cup of liquid in a paper bag and gave it to me. And you could see as he was holding it, like the liquid was filling up the bottom of the bag because it's dripping out of the cup. They fill it all the way the fuck up. And that's... Just one very small example of the people living in New York thinking they have it all figured out, and they absolutely do not at all. And that is just a microcosm of all of us thinking we have it figured out, and not at all. So let's all try to get our haka dance in line for next week, and because next week's going to be a whole new season of Scientology, and we'll see what we've got in store. I hope that you are enjoying the podcast. Thank you for listening. This has been episode 49 of Scientology. I've got to get off of this thing. I do want to say before I go that I started my GoFundMe for my Elsa show that I'm going to be trying to take to Edinburgh, Scotland, that I'm going to take to Edinburgh, Scotland in August. I'm trying to raise $8,000 for that. And I started that campaign on my birthday, which was 3 days ago. And I have already raised $1,600 thanks largely in part to the people who listen to this podcast, and I will name you all by name absolutely soon and thank you all individually. And it has been such an overwhelming thing to feel you giving this to me and believing in me and believing in what I'm doing, and I will not let you down. I promise you. So if you want to donate to that, if you haven't already, please do. That's wonderful. It's a GoFundMe. I'll link to it on the notes for the show. and I'll do it on social media, on again on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that type of thing. If you like the show, leave a review. I always love the positive reviews, help people discover the podcast. Please spread the word of the podcast. Tell other people about it. I have a Patreon page where you can support the podcast if you'd like to, and that also helps support me and help me get my show to Edinburgh as well. It all feeds into the same thing. If you want to know more about that, just go to my website, pauloto.com, scroll to the middle of the page. There's a link that'll take you to that Patreon, and you can donate 5 or 10 or however much money a month if you want. If you get value out of this show, that would mean a lot to me. I already have to thank the people that are donating now. You guys really don't understand how much that amount of money helps me, just confidence-wise and financially, and helps snowball and build this thing into something that, who knows how big we could get it. It could be this amazing thing one day, and you're going to be a part of it. And I, from the bottom of my heart, genuinely thank you for doing that. If you cannot afford to help financially donate to the podcast, do not do it. Do not donate to my GoFundMe if you can't afford it, if it's going to hurt you even a little bit. But if you can, I'll obviously take it, and I appreciate it more than I can even say. But if you just want to help out with your time, spread the word, leave a review, anything and everything helps, and just keep listening. That's a big one, and I hope that you enjoy it. I hope that it's helped you pass some time. It certainly helped me pass some time. I love doing this, and I look forward to the second season of Scientology. Happy 2020, guys, from your 40-year-old friend, Paul Jack Joseph Odo. Keep being good. Keep trying to do the right thing. I know that you are. Keep plugging along. It's fucking hard, man. Every day is hard. But I believe in you. And do not be afraid. I'm here for you if you need me any way that I can be. Reach out. Let's talk. Take care, guys.